Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to our Sunday morning service. I hope you're doing well and maybe perhaps seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel these days. One of the things that I have found a lot of encouragement in and hope and comfort in over the past 3 months has been knowing that there is a God who is bigger than all of this, a God who is bigger than COVID, and bigger than any difficulties that we might be facing in our lives. Because he made the universe, he made the world in which we live, he made us, and he made a way of salvation for us through Jesus. And he has made a place in heaven for us that is far, far greater than anything we may enjoy here on earth. So I want to read some verses just from Psalm 113, verse 4. The Lord is exalted above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. And so our first song this morning really talks about this creator God who stoops down to look upon the heavens and the earth, and about his son Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit sent to indwell us. All praise to him.
Good morning, boys and girls. In our house, we love challenges and we love competitions. So we've set Alfie a challenge for you to watch. He has been given one sweet and he has been told that if he doesn't eat that sweet until his mum and his dad get back, he'll get a second delicious sweet. Let's see how he did.
Right, Alfie, mummy and daddy have a little treat for you, okay? Yeah, it's a lovely sweetie, isn't it? But this is one sweetie, okay? You can have two sweeties, show me two. You can have two sweeties if you wait for mummy and daddy to go and do a wee job. So you can't eat this one until mummy and daddy do their wee job. Okay? And when we come back, if you wait, you can have two sweeties. Does that sound good?
What sweetie?
Another snake. Okay? So don't eat that one until we come back, okay? And then you can have two. Okay, we'll be back in a wee minute. Won't be long. Oh my goodness! Give me a high five. Well done. No, I know you. Did you really want to eat that? But you did. You did what you were asked, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Two.
You get two sweeties. Oh, well done. Good boy.
So, what would you have done? Would you have been able to wait and not eat the delicious, tasty sweet in front of you, or? That feeling that was inside you saying, go on, just have a wee nibble of it, they'll never know. Would that have been too much and you would have given in?
There's a word for that feeling and it's temptation. Temptation means wanting to do something that you know you shouldn't. So it could be watching an extra 10 minutes on your tablet when you've been asked to stop, or hitting someone that's annoying you, or being tempted to ignore your parents when they ask you to tidy your room.
Even Jesus was tempted, and that's the story we'll be looking at today. It's found in Matthew, in the Bible. Jesus had been led to the desert and had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So he'd gone without food that whole time. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry 10 minutes after my dinner. I can't imagine going 40 days without eating. And at that time, the devil appeared and he wanted to tempt Jesus because he knew that he was hungry at this point and weak.
Then the devil said, if you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. Imagine how hungry Jesus would have been. I can't even imagine. But Jesus replied, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus used his knowledge from the Bible to help him pass his first test.
The devil then took Jesus to the very top of the temple in Jerusalem and said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels to lift you up and your feet will not strike a stone. The devil was using the Bible to try and tempt Jesus, but Jesus replied that it is written, do not put your Lord God to the test.
Finally, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him the whole world. He said, if you bow down and worship me, this can all be yours. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written that the Lord your God is God and you are to worship only him. Jesus had been tempted again, but he chose not to give in, and then the angels came and they attended to him.
You see, even Jesus was tempted to do some things that he knew he shouldn't. But every single time he was tempted, he relied on what God had said in the Bible to help him through it. And because Jesus has been tempted, he knows what it's like. So if you ever feel tempted to do anything, you can just rely on him and he will give you strength. Because if we try to do things in our own power, we may end up doing the things that we shouldn't. Alfie may have ended up eating the sweet when he knew that there was better things that could have come along after that. So if you're ever feeling tempted, just remember those two things. Remember that our Bible verses, mirror verses that we learn help us to fight against temptation and to resist doing things that we shouldn't. And also then to rely on God.
Good morning, everyone. It is time now for our missionary focus. And this morning we're going to zoom across the seas to the land of Myanmar, where we're going to visit Faith Theological College and have a conversation with the leader of the work, Pastor Samuel. Here he's seen with his wife, Abigail, and his daughter, Anna.
Good day to you, Samuel. It's good to see you. Thank you. Nice to see you too.
We have been excited to have this opportunity to zoom across the seas and get her all the way to Myanmar and to visit you. I want to introduce you to Andrew, who's chairman of the missions committee here in Hamilton Road Baptist Church. He is excited to meet you as well.
Thank you.
Good morning to you, Samuel. It's lovely to have this opportunity to talk to you directly, and we look forward to hearing about your work in Myanmar.
Thank you.
Samuel, you have been expecting to start your college new academic year. Has that happened, or is it still to come?
It is still to come. Actually, we have announced to start the academic year in 1st July 2020, but due to the ongoing outbreak of the COVID-19, we will need to reschedule. So the government informed us that we can fix the date just 2 weeks before.
So when do you hope to get started?
July 15, 2020.
So about another month yet before you can start.
Yes.
The students that you will expect to come, how many?
We are expecting between 60 to 70.
And where will they all come from?
They come from different parts of Chin State and Glenview area. Then we thank the Lord because God sends us students from Mizoram, India.
So some can come across the border.
Yes, but the problem is that they will not be able to come this year because the COVID-19 is very fast spreading across India. So the border is locked down now and very strict.
So obviously this COVID has created lots of problems for you even there in Myanmar.
Exactly.
You have a teaching staff of how many?
We have 8 teaching staffs, then 1 accountant and 1 cook.
Very good. Samuel or Andrew, you need to know a little bit more about those teachers.
And tell us a little bit about the staff and what language is spoken there.
All the teaching staffs are speaking English because they earn their English in Faith Theological College here and in India. In India, they earn their Master of Theology. So they all are speaking English, then we are teaching the students in English.
And can I ask you about the outreach work that you're doing? Do you send folk out from the college?
Yes. We are having Saturday and Sunday outreach and evangelism. Then at some places, we conduct evangelistic meeting, then children's good news club and teaching particularly to young people and children on Saturday and Sunday.
And thank you for that. Can I hand back to Terry now for any more questions that he might have?
So you're anticipating the start of the college again then on the 15th of July, so we'll pray for that.
Thank you.
We're going to be having a prayer meeting a little later this week, and we want to invite you to come back and join us at that prayer meeting and share some more specific prayer requests.
That would be very great.
We look forward to seeing you again. And in the meantime, do give our greetings to Abigail and to Anna, your wife and daughter. We trust they are well. And when you do get together, do give greetings to all the staff and the students from us here and let them know that the saints in Hamilton Road Baptist in Bangor are praying for them.
Thank you.
So we'll say goodbye for now, and we trust that God will bless you and help you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Let's take a moment now to pray for what we have just heard.
Dear God, we thank you that the gospel has been able to reach to faraway places. We thank you for the work that is going on in Faith College to train young people to go out and to present this gospel to many more people. We pray your blessing upon them. We ask that you would meet their every need. And we pray, Lord, that you would use this outreach to turn many, many souls to yourself in a very needy land. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone."
Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning for the church family at Hamilton Road. We can't meet together physically, but we do thank you, Lord, that we are brothers and sisters in the family of God. We thank you for the love that binds us together, love that has been expressed in so many practical ways in recent days. As we come into your presence, Lord, we are conscious that we come only through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our great high priest. He has opened up the way back to God. And we thank you that Jesus understands fully all the experiences of our daily lives. In his earthly ministry, he was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. To this victorious, exalted Christ, we bring our prayers. Father, this morning, some are struggling with the restrictions of these days. Some feel the burden of added pressures. Some are coping with health problems, with mental issues, with family concerns. All are known to you. Father, we bring to you each personal situation of those who are listening just now. Help them to bring everything to you in prayer, to cast their cares on you. Lord, may they find your grace is sufficient for their needs today. Our Heavenly Father, we are so conscious we are living in days of unparalleled uncertainty and change. But we rejoice that you are the unchanging God. We know you're working out your divine purposes. Father, we want to pray for our church leaders. May they know your wisdom as they plan the way forward. We pray for our missionary family. Lord, refresh them. Renew their strength as they continue to share the good news of Jesus. And Lord, we remember in particular our young people as they come to the end of an academic year that has been so unsettled. We do pray you will continue the work you have begun in each one of these young folk. And we pray for Brian, our youth director. Lord, give him insight and wisdom as he tries to find ways to support and encourage these young people. And Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray for ourselves. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond to the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
There was a very famous philosopher and writer who said this: the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. I wonder, would you agree? When you consider some of the small things in your life that you are tempted to do, is the only way to get rid of that urge is to perhaps give in to it. But maybe some of the bigger things in your life at present or in the past, and you consider the temptation that was in front of you, was the only way to get rid of it to yield to it. And when I read that quote, I thought about this. I wonder, has there ever been a man or a woman who has been born into this world, who has been tempted and yet never given in? That they have been able to live their whole life on this earth and have been tempted time and time and time again and yet never given in. You see, in the Bible, you may never have read it before, but if you were to pick it up today, you'll see in Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, the story about Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were created perfectly good. But then in Genesis chapter 3, right back at the start of the Bible, they were tempted. And rather than listening to the voice of God, they listened to the voice of Satan. And so from that moment on, every man and woman who's ever been born into this world experienced temptation. Even some of you who've got young children in your family know that from the moment a toddler is really conscious of himself or herself, they are tempted by things that they should not have. But is there, or has there ever been a man or woman who have been tempted but has never given in? I want to take you back to that story that we've been reading already this morning, the story about Jesus. We're going to see that he is tempted and he is tried, but he will be triumphant. Jesus, I would share with you this morning, is the only man. He was fully God and he was fully man. And therefore, he is the only man who has ever walked the streets of this world, who has been tempted, but yet never sinned. So let's look at the story together. Consider the first thing that Jesus was tempted in. Well, he was tempted over physical desires. Let's read the text. In verses 1 to 4, he was tempted with physical desires. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Adam, the first man who was ever born, was tempted with food in the Garden of Eden, and he failed. Would Jesus, which the Bible refers to as the second Adam, now that he is in the wilderness and he is tempted with food, will he succeed? Just like Israel, again, God's people who were in the wilderness, when they were tempted to grumble, they failed and gave in to their temptations. So Matthew, I believe, wants us to see, will Jesus succeed where Adam failed? Will Jesus succeed where Israel failed? Will Jesus really be the Son of God? Because you might want proof this morning. Is Jesus really the Son of God? Because last week, if you were watching our broadcast, you will remember that he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And a voice from heaven comes, it's God the Father, speaking from heaven through an audible voice saying, "This is my Son." And so you might be saying, is Jesus really the Son of God? Well, if he is, surely he'll be able to be perfect when it comes to being tempted. But here comes the devil to tempt him. Verse 3, and the tempter came and said to Jesus, if you are, using the words of his baptism, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus, you're hungry. Surely your Father wants your hunger to be satisfied. Jesus, you haven't had food for 40 days. Sure, just take the food. Everything will be okay. It's the same whisper that went into Adam and Eve's ears. It's the same whisper that went into Israel's ears in the wilderness. It's the same whisper that comes into our ears when Satan offers us instant gratification now, but without revealing to us the consequences of what instant gratification will bring about in our lives. So how will Jesus respond? Is he the Son of God, or is he just an ordinary man like you or me? Verse 4, he says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is tempted with physical desires, and he said, Satan, I don't want your instant gratification. I want the pleasure of obeying the will of my Father. Jesus, when tempted with physical desire, shows us he is triumphant and that he is the Son of God.
Thank you. watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
But the devil moves on. If he's failed in this account, he moves on to, I wonder, can Jesus be tempted with wanting the praise of others, the adulation of others, the worship of others? So this is the second thing. Jesus is tempted with the praise of others. Verse 5. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to Jesus, if you are, here's this phrase again, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Even uses the Bible, the devil. He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, reveal yourself to the crowds. Let everybody in the holy city see this miracle today. You can feel the praise and the adulation and the worship of the crowds now. Jesus, you can have the praise now without experiencing the penalty of the cross. Jesus, you can have instant praise right now. Jesus is being tempted with this. Would he feel like Adam, like Israel? Or is he the Son of God? How does Jesus respond? After being in the wilderness for 40 days, he is tired physically, he is hungry physically, he's been in a spiritual battle for 40 days. How will he respond? Jesus answered him, verse 7, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus is tempted again with the praise of the world, and yet he wants to obey the will of the Father above all else. He's tempted, and again he's triumphant. But the devil is a persistent and a wily foe, and he comes back for one last major attack against Jesus. He wants to derail the mission of Jesus. He wants to take him off course. He wants Jesus to follow his will and not the will of the Heavenly Father. And so he tempts him a third time. He tempts him with the power of world domination. He's tempted him with physical desires. He tempted him with the praise of the crowds and the adulation of the crowds now. And then he says, but Jesus, I'm going to play you my full deck of cards. I can give you all the power and the kingdoms of the world. You can have it now. Jesus, you can be the crowned prince without having to go to the cross. Verse 8, again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to Jesus, all of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Again, Satan's been whispering this from the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, as they looked at the food, particularly Eve, it was pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom and being like God. I'll give you this, Eve. But she didn't know in doing that she would have to worship the kingdom of Satan rather than the kingdom of God. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, the temptations that are common to you and common to all of us, it's luring you and asking you to follow the kingdom of Satan rather than the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is showing us here what it's like to be tempted and triumphant, to show us that he is no ordinary man, while he is just a normal man, but he's also the Son of God. He's the only one that has ever walked the dusty streets of this world who has been tempted and who has been tried, but who is wonderfully triumphant. So how will Jesus respond? Verse 10. Then Jesus said to Satan, "Be gone, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. It's staggering that even in this last temptation, Jesus says, Satan, it's about the worship of God that truly matters. And yet, Jesus was the Son of God. And how do we know this? Well, the Magi came in Matthew chapter 2 and they asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews?" For they had come to worship him. In just a number of chapters' time, we will see in Matthew 14, when there's a huge storm in the Sea of Galilee and the disciples are in the boat and Jesus stands in front of the wind and the waves, he quiets them. And when he gets into the boat, it says the disciples worshipped him. When Jesus is standing at the end of Matthew's gospel in Matthew 28 as the risen Lord Jesus, and he's about to ascend to be at the right hand of his Father, it says in Matthew 28, as he commissions his disciples to take the good news that he saves people from their sin to the ends of the earth, it says that they worshipped him. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. And only the Son of God can be tempted and tried, but be ultimately triumphant. I would love you today, if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart by grace, through the amazing love of Jesus, accepted by faith, that you actually say, "Jesus, you truly are the Son of God, and I believe that when I'm tempted, I always give in, but you never did. That you are the Son of God, and that you can cleanse me, and that you can forgive me, and that you can give me new hope today." Because as I close, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It really sums up the whole of the Bible in just a few sentences. It says, "In Adam, as in that Adam that lived in the Garden of Eden, as in Adam, everyone born through his lineage dies." They live, but they ultimately die. But the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who didn't feel in the wilderness like Israel did, who didn't feel in the garden like Adam did, as in Christ, the second Adam, if you trust him, if you obey him, if you follow him, the Bible says, in Christ, all will be made alive. I'm going to hand back to the team who are going to lead us in our closing song. Thank you.
death could not contain your glory. Our God rolled the stone away, glorious. Lord, you are glorious, shepherd and king.
It's been wonderful to have you join with us today, and we want to say thank you as well to everyone that participated and helped us to put this together. We'd encourage you to join with us again tonight for our online series. This is week 3 of our Deeper Into the Word series, focusing on blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Just really encourage you to watch that tonight, and maybe catch up on the previous couple of sessions if you haven't got them already. It's been a great opportunity just to go a bit deeper into the words of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. We meet on Wednesday for our online Zoom meeting for our missions prayer meeting. That's at 8 o'clock. Again, we just really encourage you to join in then if you can. And so let's just pray just as we end our service. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for this opportunity this morning to gather in this way. We thank you for what we have heard and sung together and the truths of your word. We thank you for the example of Jesus, Lord, that when he was tempted, that he has shown us how we can rely on you, and that the truths of your word can equip us and enable us, Lord, to face the challenges in this world. As we go into another unknown week, I just pray that you would help us to lean hard into you, Lord, just to trust in you, and that you would be making our way straight, Lord, and that you would be our refuge and our strength. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have blessed us with, Lord, in these difficult times, Lord, and that you continue to go with us, even in this period of uncertainty. We give you thanks, Lord, for all you've provided for us. Amen.